On today's podcast episode, we are talking through a lot of ways that you can reduce your taxes, ways that maybe you've never even considered before. I basically did a huge data dump, brain dump, and went through and dumped out as much information as I could from my brain to share with you on ways to reduce your taxes. Some of these are things that I have never talked before about on the podcast, so you're definitely going to want to go get a pen and a paper. Dive in because I'm going to share some really good stuff. So let's get into it. I've got 28 ways for you to reduce your taxes today. Hey friend, welcome to the Small Business Finance Podcast. Do you want confidence and clarity with your business finances? Do you find yourself up late at night searching for tax deductions, how to track your business finances, or for QuickBooks tips? Do you wake up with big, ambitious goals, but you end up feeling confused and frustrated because accounting and tax is really foreign? Hi, I'm Tiffany. I've heard this so many times from clients who used to feel this way. They felt overwhelmed about what to do with their numbers and wish that they could stop the financial madness. They wanted clarity and the ability to grasp the financial basics, know who to call when they had a question, and to stop worrying about owing money to the IRS, but they thought they weren't good with numbers, and the overwhelm kept them stuck without any solid financial plan until they realized that business systems are the ticket to gaining financial confidence. In this podcast, you will learn step-by-step systems, easy-to-understand financial tips, and mindset transformation so that you will gain financial confidence as an entrepreneur. Dust off your spreadsheet, warm up your coffee, and let's get going. The way that the laws are written for taxes are designed to help small business owners reduce their taxes. If you are listening to this podcast, my guess is that you own a small business. And if you own a small business, you have met half of the requirements that you need to in order to reduce your taxes. So the first one is you got to own a business. It doesn't even have to be your full-time gig. This could be a side hustle for you, but you own a business. You have something that you are generating income through, like 1099 as a contractor, or maybe you have an S-Corp, or maybe you have a C-Corp, something, partnership. You could have rental real estate. Really anything that's driving revenue to you that you're not being paid as an employee. That is going to be the business that is going to house all the tax deductions. So that's number one. You have to own a business because the laws are written for business owners. That's just the way that it is. I had somebody the other day on social media say, so you're telling me that if I don't own a business, that I'm definitely going to overpay in taxes. Yes, you are. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but the laws are written for business owners. They just are. There's very minimal that can be done for someone that owns or someone that works full-time as an employee. There are some things that can be done, but it's not very much. You're really not going to be able to reduce your taxes if all you have is a W-2 job, which is why I tell people, if you have a W-2 job, that's great. You don't have to get rid of it, but you at least need to have a side hustle because that's where the magic is. That's where it starts with being able to reduce your taxes, period, end of story. The second thing that you have to do in order to be able to reduce your taxes is you got to be paying taxes. It seems obvious, but I'm just going to put it out there. You have to be paying taxes in order to reduce them. If you are not, and if your business is just losing money, then you're not paying taxes anyway. That's not to say that maybe you shouldn't go ahead and add in the deductions that you should be getting for your business. I'm not saying that. I would say you should, regardless of how much money you're making, because even if you're losing money and you have no taxable income, those losses will carry over and you will get to use them at some point. So make sure you're maximizing the deductions that you should be getting in your business. Okay, so let's get to it because I got a bunch to go through and I really don't want this to be a super long podcast. Okay, number one, startup costs. If you have costs that are out of pocket to start any business, then those are going to be deductible. Things like legal fees, starting a variety of different stuff, depending on the business. Even if you buy a franchise, then even those franchise fees that you have to pay up front, a lot of them require money up front. Those are going to be write-offs. So if you are paying stuff out of pocket, you don't even have your LLC set up yet. You don't even have a bank account for the business set up yet. You need to track those things because those are still going to be deductible for your taxes. Number two, office and technology. So any expenses that you have in your business related to office, this could be supplies, pens, paper, printers, all sorts of stuff can be deducted in your business. Your computer, if you need a new computer in your business, write that sucker off. Seriously, you got to get those deductions. And then on the technology side, that could be software. So it could be your QuickBooks subscription that you have to handle your accounting. It could really be any other software that you have. I'm using software right now to record this podcast. I have software that hosts the podcast that actually does cost money. Those things are all going to be deductible for you and your business. If you were like most of America, for sure, maybe the world at this juncture, post-COVID, most people work out of their home. There are people that have gone back to offices. So maybe you aren't entirely out of a home office, but even if you have an office and you still operate for some of the administrative things that you do in your business, you can get the home office deduction. This is going to be things like taking a portion of your utilities, a portion of various expenses around the house. It might be an alarm bill. It might be the person coming to clean the house. There's a lot of different expenses that you have. It could be your rent, it could be your mortgage. You're going to take a percentage of that based on the area that you're using for your home office. And by the way, it does not have to be a dedicated home office. That is the best way to do it, but it doesn't have to be. But the home office is going to be something, and I see this missed all the time. I see people often not getting the home office deduction for their taxes for a number of reasons. Probably the biggest is their CPA told them it was a red flag. That's honestly hogwash. It's so silly. Taking a deduction that is rightfully yours is not going to be an issue with the IRS. Now, you have to make sure that you track things, that you properly document it, that you're doing it the right way. But not taking a deduction that you should be is not admirable. It's not. And I cringe when I hear a recommendation of other CPAs saying that someone should not take a deduction simply because of a concern for an audit, which I've literally never seen anyone audited for home office deduction, but that's a whole other topic of conversation. Number four, cell phone. I get this question all the time. I got it last week where someone asked, can I take the write-off for my cell phone that I use for my business? I have a cell phone. I use it for personal as well, but I use it for my business all the time. I record content for my social media channel. I take phone calls from clients. I look at my email. I set appointments on my phone, put it on my calendar. Yes, of course, write off your cell phone. Now, if you minimally use it for business, then maybe you should only take a portion of that. But if you're like me, I am using my phone for business daily throughout the day. It's not something that I do on a rare occasion. Working in a remote environment, even using Slack, and I'll do an occasional Zoom call on my phone because I'm not at my desk and I'm doing a Zoom call with somebody. I'll use it to tether and get internet sometimes if I'm on the go and I'm not somewhere that has high-speed internet access. If you're using your phone for your business, for the love, write it off. Number five, cost of goods sold. So there are different costs depending on the type of business you are. If you have, for instance, if you're a construction company and you have material that you buy to build a house, that would be a cost of goods sold. This could be a number of different things. Typically, it's going to be physical material. It's going to be stuff that you purchase for a job. It's going to be cost of goods sold. Number six, labor cost. This could be contract labor. This could be employee labor. If it is an employee that is working for you, of course, they're going to need to fill out a W-4. If it is a contractor that is working for you, you're going to need to make sure and have them fill out a W-9. And then also for employees, of course, you're going to run all their wages through payroll taxes, W-2s, 941s, et cetera, have to be filed. For a contractor, you're going to need to make sure and get them a 1099 at the end of the year if you pay them more than $600. This legitimizes the deductions for labor costs and make sure that you can deduct it. If you don't have those things and you're not filling out these additional forms, then the IRS can and will throw out the deduction. I see it most with contractor labor, where people don't give 1099s, and it's a huge mistake. The best thing that I can tell you is that you have to get that W-9 up front from the contractor, because if you don't, you're never going to get it at the tail end when 1099s are due. And then if the IRS audits you, you're going to have a problem. They're going to throw it out. Number seven, vehicle costs. If you're using your vehicle for business, then of course you can write that off. You can take the actual cost that are used in the business, or you can do mileage. The IRS mileage rate in 2024 is 67 cents a mile. The mileage rate is probably the easiest thing to do because it's just easier, simpler to track. It just depends on you and your situation. Sometimes actual mileage or actual deduction can be a bigger deduction versus mileage. So you want to probably track both and then ask your CPA to take the optimal amount for you. The main thing to know here is that you cannot take personal use of your vehicle as a write-off. It has to be for business use. Number 8, qualified business income deduction. This is a 20% deduction off the top from the profit of your business. There are income thresholds on this. If you're making more than $160,000 single, or $360,000 as a married couple, then you cannot take it for just the standard simple write-off of 20%. You might be able to get it through other rules. It gets a little bit more complex when it comes to being over that income threshold. So you want to look at things like how much money you pay employees, assets, things like that to get that deduction. And this can be tricky. I look at this with my clients regularly at the end of the year to make sure that their qualified business income deduction is maximized, because you can leverage paying yourself more or less to maximize this deduction if you are over the income threshold. Again, that is definitely going to require you working with someone who understands this law and then is able to calculate the right amount. Number 9, meals. If you are going out and you're eating a bunch of meals out in a restaurant, then it is possible that you could get more of a write-off simply by making sure that there is a business connection with that meal. I see this often when it comes to husbands and wives that own a business, that going out and oftentimes they're talking about the business, they're working through problems, they're trying to figure out the best way to handle the situation. Well, if you're doing that and you're having a meal and there's a business connection, then you very likely are going to be able to get a write-off for that meal. But most people aren't thinking about that. They just pay it with their personal credit card and move on down the road. So be thinking about that. Make sure that when you're having these meals, that there is a business connection, business topic. The person that you're eating with is tied into your business. If your spouse is not currently on payroll, maybe they should be, so that then it can be a write-off for you. Number 10, travel can be a business deduction if there is a business connection with it. If it's 100% for business, you're going to a seminar, a conference, doing some sort of a training, it can even be board of directors meetings, then all of the meals, all of the flights, all the hotel, everything in connection with that trip is going to be a write-off. Then if you are traveling with family, maybe your kids and your spouse and all this, and they're not currently on payroll, maybe they should be. So that then it can be that you have a business connection and that you are traveling with business contacts, which then is a greater likelihood of being a deduction. I'm not saying every single family vacation is going to be able to deduction. It's possible that it's not going to, but it might be that part of it could be a deduction. And that's really what we're looking at, is like try and optimize our deductions as much as possible. Which brings me to number 11, hire your children for the love. If your kids are helping you at all in your business, or if they're old enough that they could be, get them to work in your business. And then you're able to write off almost $14,000 a year in taxes, tax-free. Then you shift it to them being paid as an employee, and all of a sudden, you are able to then use that money for things like private school tuition, or maybe they're on some sort of a traveling sports team. And those costs then become, quote unquote, tax-free because they're shifted to the child's income bracket, which if it's under about $14,000, it's zero, by the way. There is no income. And even if you're paying more than that, let's say your kid is 16 and he's really good at Instagram and social media, and he starts managing your social media and he's working, and the income equivalent is $25,000 a year. I don't know if that's correct, because I'm not sure what you would pay a 16-year-old for marketing. You would want to make sure you get comps. But sure, they're going to be over that threshold for the standard deduction, but their tax bracket is still going to be less than yours. And if then they can start paying for some of their stuff, contributing to retirement or sending money aside for college, then do it. It ends up being advantageous to do it that way. Number 12, employee benefits. Really anything that you would do to provide a benefit to an employee. This could be health insurance. This could be dental. This could be vision. This could be retirement. And by the way, if you're an employee of your business, if you're an S-Corp, then your benefits are also deductible as well. This can, like I said, include retirement. So in 2024, the SEP IRA deduction is maximum of $69,000. You can also do for a solo 401k, a traditional IRA of $7,000 right off the year. This can be a huge write-off. If you do the math, $69,000 and $7,000, that is almost $76,000 a year on retirement write-off. That's huge. Number 13, pension plans. This can be things like a defined benefit plan, a cash balance plan. This write-off can be anywhere from $100,000 to $300,000 a year of a write-off. It's massive. I love pension plans for business owners because it really makes a huge difference on your taxes. This is something you will definitely want to check out. Number 14, a health savings account. When it comes to a health savings account, even if you are the owner, you can still get a write-off for it to be able to take things, deductions for things like massages, chiropractor, health, dental, co-pays, all sorts of stuff. So you'll definitely want to look into a health savings account deduction so that you can get this write-off for things that you probably are not getting a write-off for. If you get a regular massage or if you go to the chiropractor regularly, without a health savings account, it's not a deduction. With a health savings account, all of a sudden it is. So definitely a really great thing to do. Number 15, a health insurance premiums. This is something that I see is overlooked often with business owners. Even if you don't offer health insurance, a policy for your employees, you can still get the write-off as a business owner. There's a couple of different ways that you would have to do it, but the key thing that you need to know is that even if it is not a business policy, you can still get the write-off. If you have health insurance policy premiums that you are paying for and you own a business, there are ways that you can actually still get the deduction. If your spouse has a policy and they work for somebody else, you can still get that write-off on your taxes as well. Number 16, business insurance. Really, any kind of insurance that you have for the business is a write-off for the business. This could be workers' comp. This could be general liability. Any type of insurance for the business is a write-off. Number 17, advertising. Any sort of advertising that you have, it could be Facebook ads. It could be hiring a marketing agency. It could be hiring someone to write blogs. You could get on Fiverr and you could hire a freelancer to do some marketing for you, to create a website for you. Any of those things are going to be a deduction for your business because there's a business purpose there. You are looking to grow your business. And so obviously there is a cost associated with that. So if you are wanting to scale your business, grow your business, maybe it makes sense to reinvest, create additional marketing deductions so that you can then grow faster and get to where you want to be and hit your goals at a quicker rate by doing this reinvestment. So making sure that you're getting the full advertising and marketing deduction is important. Next, education expenses. The IRS wants to reward you for educating yourself, growing, expanding, learning more. This could be seminars, conferences. This could even be diplomas, additional certifications. If you need licensure to be able to do the things that you are doing, you're an electrician and you need an electrician's license, or for me as a CPA, I have continuing education that I do every single year. And so the cost of that education is going to be deductible. Number 19, rent. If you are renting a third-party location and you have some sort of a retail space or office space or whatever it is, that is also going to be deductible. You are going to want to make sure and give them a 1099 at the end of the year to account for the money that you've paid them in rent. This is 1099 miscellaneous for rent. Make sure that you document all these things. Very important, but that rent absolutely is deductible. Number 20, we are going to have renting the personal residence. This is the EGSTA loophole. I've talked about it on the podcast previously. This is a really great way to shift income to you personally without creating a taxable event. If you are renting your personal residence to your business, this could be for a photo shoot. This could be for a board of directors meeting. This could be for a sales meeting. This could be for a number of different things. There's a lot of different application for this. The main thing is that you're going to want to make sure that you're getting the right comps so that you are renting it from yourself for the right rate. I see this as probably the biggest mistake when it comes to the EGSTA loophole is honestly not renting, like the rental rate's not enough because you don't know how to get comps. So the EGSTA loophole is huge. Next one is utilities. Any sort of utilities, especially if you're renting out a third party, location. You're going to have utilities. You're going to have probably a telephone expense. You're going to have electricity, gas, trash, all sorts of stuff. All of those are deductible. Number 22, repairs and maintenance. If you have repairs in your business, then those need to be written off. What is the difference between repairs and renovation? Repair is just fixing something like normal use. Maybe there's a toilet that is messed up in your office that you're renting, or you need to go through and paint a wall because the wall got all scratched up. That would be a repair. Renovation would be changing and completely improving the property. So if you are getting an entirely new kitchen in your office, that's a renovation, not a repair. Next, legal and professional fees. If you need a third-party professional to help in your business, a lawyer, an accountant, really anything like that is going to be deductible in your business. And yes, this does include the write-off for preparing your taxes. Even if you have a separate tax return, like a partnership, S-Corp, C-Corp, if you file business taxes, even on your 1040, like a Schedule C or Schedule E for your rental property, a portion of that can also be written off on your taxes. So make sure that your tax professional is allocating a portion of that deduction on your tax return. Bank fees. So any fee that you pay your bank, whether it's a monthly service fee or a wire fee, any sort of fee, can it even be an overdraft fee? Hopefully you're not overdrafting your account. But if you are, those are all write-offs, and you want to make sure that they are getting deducted on your tax return. Very important, which brings me to merchant processing fees as the next one. And I think I'm on 23. Honestly, I'm losing track at this point because there's so many deductions and write-offs. Merchant processing fees are going to be what a third party is charging you to process credit card and ACH fees to collect money from your customers. If you're running through QuickBooks Online and using their fee, then it's already shown in their system, but maybe you're using something like Zelle or Cash App or Venmo. I don't know what all the fees are associated with all of them, but you want to make sure that you are capturing those fees and taking the deduction. Next, business loan interest. If you have a loan in your business, you want to make sure you're taking the interest. Basically, the way that a loan is set up is there will be principal that pays down the amount of the loan, and then there's interest on the money that you're borrowing. Make sure you're taking the interest deduction on that loan as a deduction so that you can get the write-off for it. It's important to get that information. You may have to ask the bank for an interest statement at the end of the year. They can definitely give that to you and provide it very easily. If you own a house, you always end up getting a statement at the end of the year telling you how much interest you paid on your mortgage, which is also deductible in real estate taxes. The same thing for business loans. They will provide that for you, but you may have to ask for it. Next, business taxes. So things like payroll, self-employment tax, real estate tax, all of those things are write-offs for your business. For self-employment tax, it's only half of the amount that you pay is actually a write-off, but business taxes are a write-off. Now, I want to make sure and say your personal taxes on the income of the business are not a write-off. So you cannot write off personal taxes paid on the income from the business, but other areas of the business for taxes like payroll, self-employment, real estate taxes, et cetera, are all a write-off. Next, you want to make sure that you're writing off things that you should be getting the benefit from and that you just aren't getting. Section 162 basically says that all ordinary and necessary expenses can be written off in a business. If I've gone through this whole list of things as write-offs and you still are not sure, can I write off this one thing? The question, is it ordinary and necessary in your business? And if it is, then the section 162 of the IRS, the tax code says that you can write it off. So the general question of, can I write XYZ off in my business? If it's ordinary and necessary, the answer is yes. You can write that off in your business. Ordinary is something that is typical in your industry. So if you are a content creator and you need to have a tripod or a particular camera in order to do your content creation, and that's standard in the industry, then yes, that's ordinary. If you are a hairstylist and you have to have shampoo to wash your customer's hair, then that is ordinary. As a CPA, I need a computer to do my work. That's ordinary. Then the necessary part of it, is it a necessary expense in the business? Is it something that you really need to have in order to run the business? Maybe it's not ordinary. Maybe not every person in the industry has this expense, but it is necessary based on the way that you run your business. Most CPAs are terrified of talking to people and doing videos and recording a podcast and things like that. So to have podcast software for most CPAs, probably not ordinary. Is it necessary for the way that I run my business because I have a podcast that is a channel for marketing in my business? Yes, it is. So even if it's not ordinary in your industry, if based on the way that you're running your business, it's necessary, then it's a write-off, period, end of story. And under any audit, you would be able to reference that Section 162 to get the deduction. So I know I went through all that really quickly because I was hoping to get through all of these 28 things so that you had a really good breadth of knowledge when it comes to what's able to be written off. Like, what can you deduct in your business? What are appropriate expenses? So I hope this has been really helpful to you. This is absolutely going to be an episode you want to share with your best friend or fellow business owner. Maybe it's business partner or what have you. Share it, because that way they're able to gain knowledge from small business finance taxes as well and improve and expand. And they will appreciate it as much as I will, for sure. I appreciate you so much taking time out of your day, out of your week to listen to the podcast. I appreciate you so much, and I cannot wait until next time.